And I am Robert M. Price.
I'm Dr. Daryl Ray. And
hi, I'm Karen Lumley Kerr.
Hi, I'm Aaron Roy.
Hi, I'm Marissa Alexa McCool.
Hi, I'm Jerry DeWitt.
Hi, this is David Smalley from Dogma Debate.
Hi, this is Dan Barker.
Hi, I'm John McComb from The John McComb Show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Drance.
Hi, I'm Richard Carrier.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Tyson.
Hi, I'm Seth Andrews. I'm host of The Thinking Atheist.
Hey, guys, I'm Kara Santa Maria.
Hi, I'm David Fitzgerald.
Hi, I'm Brian Keith Dalton.
Hi, this is Tom and Cecil from Cognitive Dissonance, and we took a left of the valley.
We did take a left of the valley.
And wrong turn in Albuquerque.
And then the left of the valley goes right to a glory hole. It's like right to a glory hole.
I know we shouldn't have to scream that we're atheists. You know, we don't have non-astrologers and all that. But with the religious people taking over the world, I mean, we can either speak up or be pushed into a corner.
I'm proud to be an atheist, a skeptic, a non-believer, an infidel, a heathen. I call it how I see it. I say it's ignorance and you just call it faith in unsubstantiated claims. That's something to be ashamed. I'm an atheist.
Coming at you from Dante's Inferno, this is Left of the Valley. My name is Kevin, and my doctor told me I should stop exercising until I get in better shape. Joining me as usual is a team that you can trust like your calculator. Yes, you can count on them.
Oh, that's an abacus, isn't it?
She said the universe is expanding. That should help with traffic congestion, Nancy.
Yeah, absolutely. You betcha. Mm-hmm. Right on.
Well done.
And as a young man, he's been picked up so often, he now has handles. Scott!
All right, that's mean. That's just mean. They're known as love handles, okay?
I wouldn't go there. And drawing on her fine command of the English language, she said nothing, Christina. That's hard for you, isn't it? She's struggling so hard right now. And she likes to cook with wine. Sometimes she even adds it to the food. Kirsten.
I think you have us mixed up. That's me.
Guys, welcome back. This is an interesting show today because actually we're not doing a typical show. This is actually what we'd call a bonus show, right?
Uh-huh.
We're having a bonus show this week because we have a very special guest. We have a friend of the show. We have actually Brad...
Dirks.
That's right. I know, for some reason, I always want to say Brad Virks. You're Brad Virks today, Brad. No, your Brad Dirks is with us. Brad, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's great because we have a guest actually in the studio.
Yeah, he hasn't went out the door yet.
I know, and the studio just rivals CBC and all of its accoutrements, so it's really special.
Hey,
that's your budget, huh?
I don't think CBC has homemade cookies.
Yeah, that's true.
Got a point there.
Yeah.
Actually, the show we're doing here, we're talking about Soji 123. Brad came to us because he listened to one of our shows we did when we had Dr. Drance and Dr. Del Rey. We talked about the whole Soji versus Barry Neufeld. And Brad has been right in the middle of the fight. So we get in touch, and he's here to tell his story today, and we're going to do that a bit later. But before we do that, we got a couple of things to take care of. Hey, we received a letter, so...
Oh, a letter? Somebody listens to the show that goes out. They know how to read and write. Wow.
This is lovely lady. Her name is Jessica. We're not going to mention her last name. And she had a bit of a point that she was... when one of her last show, actually, she said... Hey guys, great show. There's only one detail, though, I'd like to challenge you on. Please go back to what you said about offense during the last minute and imagine the following. You are now talking about one abused woman who stands up and complains in the face of an entire congregation who thinks she's just claiming an outrageous, nonsensical privilege. But the things you say still hold. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for the input. What Jessica is basically saying is, at the end of our talk, if you remember, and I mentioned something to the effect of, you know what, you have no right to be not offended. And I said, you know, tough it up too much. And she's pointing out, she's making a very valid point, actually, that if you adopt that attitude, you may easily go and dismiss a claim that might have some validity. Thank you. Validity to it. And I think she makes a very good point. And thank you so much, Jessica, for pointing that out. So,
No, it's always great when we have listeners write in, and then we can discuss it and appreciate the fact that they're listening and they're that fully engaged. Thanks a lot.
Exactly.
We appreciate
it.
That's awesome.
So, we do listen to our listeners, and she makes a very good point, and I thank her so much for it.
Yeah.
To the point, and she's also, she happens to be a therapist.
Oh.
And who knows, we might actually bring her on the show, because she talks a lot about reconstruction bonds and stuff like that, and you know, we'll see if we can bring her on the show. So,
yeah, that sounds interesting.
Very good.
So we're not going to do our usual chit-chat, and we're not going to do a top 10, but we have to do our segment that we always love. What is it called?
Another Brilliant Moment, brought to you by religion.
All right. Brad, feel free to jump in as much as you want or as little as you want on this. Okay. Did you guys hear that there's an Oregon judge who, among several other offenses, refused to marry some same-sex couple, and he has been suspended for 3 years without pay by the Supreme Court?
I just read the headline, but I didn't read any of the details. How could he do that? He's a judge that is he's paid for by the government where it's legal.
Well, this is how he did it. In his capacity as a judge, his name is where is it? His name is Day. His last name. I'm trying to find his first name. Anyway, he instructed his staff to screen couples seeking to marry according to court documents. And if they were of the same sex, his staff members were to report that Day was unavailable.
Oh my gosh, underhanded.
Yeah.
Kidding.
Yeah. So Day's staff, the ruling states, knew that he thought a marriage should be permitted only between opposite-sex couples based on his own sincere and firmly held religious belief. So in other words, says, well, I'm sick all of a sudden, I'm not feeling well, I can't marry you because you guys are the same sex. That's basically...
Oh, man.
Boo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See, the Oregon Supreme Court... 3 years, huh? Yeah. They not found bad. that with these actions, Day willfully manifested to his staff a bias against same-sex couple that undermined public trust in a fair and impartial judiciary. No shit.
Yeah.
They couldn't just fire him?
Was he an elected judge where he couldn't be fired?
In the States, that's the thing, right? Yeah. They're elected, right? Yeah. Maybe that's the reason why.
He was elected, but they could take him off the bench, so to speak, and with no pay. So that sounds like a pretty good punishment to me.
Yeah. Cool. Let's see. Where's my other story? You guys are going to love this. Unfortunately, a couple weeks ago, or was it last week, Stephen Hawking passed away. Well, according to the lead editor of the conservative Christian PNN News website, the late physicist Stephen Hawking was kept alive by satanic forces.
Oh my gosh, I heard about this.
What?
And it was done to oppose Billy Graham's teachings.
What?
appearing on the radio show hosted by Trump-supporting pastor Carl Gallup, the editor of the End Time blog outlined his outlandish theory. So he says, so, quote, in 1942, this is when Billy Graham's ministry really takes off. And who do you think was born in 1942? A billion people, I guess. But no. The famous physicist was born that same year, Stephen Hawking. So Stephen Hawking comes from a line of atheists, his father and all these people. So I believe the devil said, okay, this guy was just born, I'm going to use this guy. The guy is already primed to accept my message that there is no God. He's already primed for it. He's going to be awash, immersed in atheism. All his years as a child, I'm going to take over this guy's life.
So does that mean the devil's stronger than God because he can choose, like, pick people and be like, oh, I'm going to...
Yeah.
God can't touch you. Genius people.
He continues. He says, I believe Stephen Hawking was kept alive by demonic forces. He's referring, of course, to Hawking's ALS. I believe...
Because technology is demonic.
Yes. See, I believe that was the demonic realm that kept the man alive as a virtual vegetable his entire life, just so he could spread this message that there is no God.
Oh, when
what do you do with people like that, right?
When Hitchens died, was there the same outcry that, no, there was a last-minute conversion?
Yes.
When atheists who are in the public eye die, is that the rallying cry immediately? No, it was a bed... bedside conversion at the last minute?
Oh, they always do that. Yeah, it was the same thing. Every famous, relatively famous atheist has this story pulled out right away.
Right away.
Hitchens, when Hitchens died, there was a lot of stories that, God finally punished him because he was such a great orator.
But
he had throat cancer.
So at this time, I'd like to make an offer to any of the religious people out there who happen to be listening to this station. If you really feel that, you know, technology was the way that the demons kept Mr. Hawking alive, our great professor, you can send all of your electronics to me. I'll take them off your hands because I'm an atheist and I don't care. And
we're already infected.
I take iPhones, I take Androids, I take computers. It's all right. Send
you
take it
all. Visa and MasterCard too?
I'll take it all off your hands, and you don't have to worry about them pesky demons.
Yep.
Maybe it's like, remember when Pat Robertson had this stupid thing saying if you go into the thrift store and you buy a photo frame,
you
have to bless it because there are demons hiding the photo frame?
I keep a vial of holy water in my pocket, and
spray the computer with holy water? That can't be good. That just can't be good.
You dry the water.
Well, thank you, guys. I just wanted to do a quick thing on that because there's been so many stupid stories like that, and, you know, one show was just not enough to cover all of this stuff. All right, so now let's talk to Brad. Brad.
Hello there.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
We haven't scared you away so far?
No.
Excellent.
Good bunch of people.
As he says that, huddle in the corner. Brad, you know, maybe you'll be so kind to introduce yourself to the audience and say exactly, tell us your story, because you have a pretty fascinating story. You've been kind of thrust in the middle of the public eye and the whole Soji 123, and you're almost like the champion of this side, I guess.
Well, I would have to say, going back to September this past year, I was just a father supporting his son, who happens to be transgender, and helping him go through school and just basically get himself adapted. And things are going really, really well. And I live out in Langley, and I've grown up in Langley and lived there for 45 years, and I run my business there. And life was just good. I thought that things were going great. And then all of a sudden I start hearing about, you know, there's a movement and there's an agenda with some certain groups of people that are spreading lies and misinformation about what it means to be a transgender person or what gender identity is. And they started opposing a policy that was being included in schools, an inclusion policy called SOGI 123. SOGI stands for Sexual Orientation Gender Identity. And once in that policy, that part of that addition to the curriculum was making my son's school life so positive. You know, he's being accepted by staff, he's being included with other students, and he's basically being treated like a normal kid. And when I knew that there was opposition to that, it really got me thinking, like, what could be wrong with that? And that's kind of where I started to use my story and my voice to kind of come out to try to share some truth and point people in the right direction where to get truth and try to drown out some of the misinformation. And that's kind of what's landed me here today.
Hmm. Okay, so now you've been doing the rounds all over the media. You've been on CKNW, you've been on TED Talk, and so elaborate on the story. I mean, you basically,
sure.
I mean, it was a bit of a nutshell there, but how did it all begin, really?
Yeah, well, so initially I knew that there was going to be a positive rally for LGBTQ people at the Langley School Board meeting in mid-September. So I'd never done a rally. I've never been an activist or an advocate or anything. So I was like, okay, let's get some poster board from the dollar store and let's make our rainbow sign. And I made a rainbow sign on one side. On the other side, I had the transgender flag. And my kids and I and their mother went to the rally, and we just basically walked around the street corner in support of it.
Mm-hmm.
That was my very first out doing anything. And I had done a local interview with one of the local Langley papers. It was either the Langley Advance or the Times, sharing a little bit about my story the day or two before that, leading up to the rally. So it got, my name got passed around with certain media outlets, and Global News was on site and wanted to talk to myself and wanted to interview my son. So we did that. And that kind of is really what brought us out there in the public eye. I mean, at that point, I'm not a public person. I'm not a public personality. I'm just a dad sharing a bit of his story. But that was my first kind of outing as far as being a voice and in showing support. There's a lot of other parents and families like mine mm-hmm. who, you know, they're afraid to take that step, to put themselves out there, to have their kids basically be outed a little, if you could say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they've seen what's happened to me since I've done that. They've seen some of the backlash that I've taken. Ironically, when people attack and assault me on social media, calling me everything from a child abuser because I support my son, calling my son and children like mine mentally ill, you know, when you see that and your name is even tagged in it and you stand up for yourself as any parent would, right? They reverse it and they call me the bully.
Yep.
And they victim shame me as if me standing up for myself, I'm the bad guy or I'm the bully, which is kind of weird because if you think about it in schoolyard terms, if a bully picks on somebody and that person stands up for themselves, who is the bully? Still the bully, right?
Yeah.
And we encourage people to stand up for themselves, but sometimes they like to, you know, they like to continue to discredit and tear people like myself and families like mine down. But, you know, they kind of picked on the wrong person because I've continued to stand up for myself, my family, my kid, and families like mine.
Brad, you're not understanding here, buddy. You're supposed to bend over. You're supposed to lie down, be sheepish, and let them steamroll over you. What, you're not following the plan here, buddy.
No, unfortunately.
Get with the program.
They met their match.
Defending your child? Who the hell is this in this day and age?
Yeah. Apparently, you know, and there's been times where they use social media really heavily. So I'll be out there monitoring some of the stuff in the past, what was being said about trans youth and about transgender people and gender identity. And I would see people just in our communities posting publicly on social media really horrible things about the LGBT community, especially transgender people. And I would find that you could debate them, you could go back and forth, and then they would call that harassing. So that I'd be harassing these people now yeah. for debating them or for standing up against the things that they're saying.
Yeah.
And some of them were business owners running businesses in our communities and serving people that probably have a good close to 10% of them are either in that community or have a family member that is. So, you know, I wrote 2 reviews in total about, hey, thank you for actually at least using your real identity in your face for and owning what you really feel about this community. But know that owning a business or, you know, that some of your clients might be part of that community too. So I never lambasted these businesses or owners. Mm-hmm. I was just simply calling out, like, when you're going publicly and sharing this for the world to see, know that you have clients that probably aren't going to be so happy with that. And again, that I was the bully again. I'm the person who is attacking these people and harassing them. And wow. It just doesn't really work that way. If you're going to go publicly on social media and discriminate and spread hate speech and lies about a group of people, then you need to be prepared that you're going to have a little bit of backlash coming at you, I would have to say.
Isn't that exactly the problem? They have a tendency to feel that because it's social media and because it's done behind a computer screen, somehow it's not public?
Yeah.
It's like, yep. No, it is very public.
Well, and I find a lot of people think that because they have a right to free speech, not to the same extent America has the right to free speech, but they think that they can say what they want but have no social backlash. Like, yeah. No, you can say things, but people hear that and will act accordingly. You can't be arrested most of the time, but other people in society can react however they want.
Exactly. We don't have freedom of speech the way that they do in the States. Just mm-hmm. like you said, we have freedom of expression, and it doesn't give you immunity to consequences if you violate someone else's yeah. rights, if and that's kind of what we're dealing with. Yeah, exactly.
Enticing hate, stuff like that. I think a lot of Canadians are completely unaware of that because we got so much American media in our everyday life. We think, oh, freedom of speech, yeah. speech, right? It's like, for example, somebody as simple as the Miranda rights. That's an American thing. Yeah. We don't have that here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the exact same thing. But people think that because, you know, we see that every day on television, we have the exact same thing. I gotta ask your son.
Yep.
How is he doing? Because I think that's very good. Important.
You know, in the beginning in September, I'm again, just a supportive dad. People didn't know me from anybody, so who is this guy? So I had to basically show that I have some skin in the game. I know what I'm talking about. I've been through this for quite a few years now. So, you know, my son was interested in doing a couple media appearances locally in the paper and did a national newspaper interview and stuff. So he's done his part. He's back now, more interested in just being a teen. He's back. He doesn't really want the limelight or the attention because he's focusing on grade 11.
Of course.
He's got his friends. His teachers
totally
are awesome.
Reasonable.
Yeah. So I'm continuing on with his blessing, talking from the perspective of a father, I'm not really going to, you know, dwell too much on him specifically, but basically people know now who I am and know that I know what I'm talking about, and I'm prepared to spread truth and direct people to credible, factual, medical, scientific information, and try to steer people away from the misinformation and the fake news and the lies that are continually being spread. And, you know, there's three groups of people in the community out there. There's people like me who already kind of know what's going on and I'm familiar with this because I'm living it. There's people on the opposite end that are familiar with, I think, the truth, but choose to spread lies and misinformation on purpose. And then there's the regular parents and citizens and community members in the middle that might not know much about this, that are just looking for information. And unfortunately, the loud minority sometimes are louder than people like myself, and they get the wrong information, and then their minds get skewed. And I think if these people in the very far other end of the spectrum really believed in what they're saying and really cared about the people that are listening to them and following them, then they would just take a stance and say, we just don't like transgender people, we don't like gay people, we just don't like them, and here's and follow us and don't support them. But instead, they're giving their followers and their listeners lies on purpose to manipulate them like sheep, and that to me is wrong.
How is your son being treated by the teachers in school? Does he feel supported, or does he feel as though he's in the middle of something that is just unpleasant, and he looks to you for support?
Well, when he came to us years ago, he didn't just come to, a popular myth is that a child will just choose to change their gender, or it doesn't work that way, and I'll get into that in a bit. But he came to us with confusion and a little bit of anxiety and confusion about what was going on, and through a long-term assessment process that is in place in our medical system here, which I'll describe later, we knew what we were dealing with about a year later after the assessment process was done. So when we approached the school at the beginning of his grade 9 year, we told them that our son is our now son is going to be starting grade 9 as Cole. They were like, awesome, what can we do to help, what do we need to do? And now this is before Soji, so all the planets had to be aligned, right? He had to have supportive parents that would go to bat for him, who had the time, which a lot of the kids don't. So if he didn't have that, it would have been a way different story, right? Mm-hmm. So we dealt with the principal and the counselor, and we said that we would like to, we had some wishes and some things that they could do to help support his school year, which Soji has addressed. But again, before the Soji initiative, we had to really kind of navigate all this with the teachers, with the principal, and with the counselors in an uncharted territory to a large degree. What we ended up doing, because I'd seen an article on the news, was bring in this professional speaker from Vancouver, who was part of an organization, and he goes around and he does talks to schools. He came in, he shared with the grades 9s and 10s in our theater what it means to be a transgender person, what it doesn't mean, questions you can ask, questions you shouldn't ask, things that are personal, things that are okay. And they just said, this is who he's going to be. And that day, my son stayed home from school. The principal was very nervous because he said, we're going to get some phone calls from parents of the kids because this is something that there's going to be some backlash. It was absolutely 100% accepted, fine. No parents complained.
That's so awesome.
It went off without a hitch. The students had great questions. It was great. The principal phoned me after and said, dude, that was awesome. I had no idea it was going to be that good. Thank you for, your faith in that idea, because it went off great. The kids were so, they absorbed that information and it didn't affect them. My kid came back to school the next day, super nervous. And it was just like, hey, Cole, how's it going? Hey, Cole. Didn't lose a single friend. Went to classes. It was perfect.
Aren't That's kids amazing. Fantastic? Yeah. I mean, they are so much better than we are. I mean, the adults are panicking left, right, and center. They have all these stupid preconceived notions, but the kids are just showing us a way.
They're just like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I recognize him or her as a person, and that's it.
That's my friend.
Yeah, exactly. That's Cole. So what?
Fine,
yeah.
Let's go for a Coke.
Now, Brian, I'm going to have to play devil's advocate here.
For sure.
if you don't mind.
We need devil's advocate. Oh,
come on, Brad. Don't you know that Cole's just going through a phase? It's like being goth, right? He's, mm-hmm. you know, he, instead of being goth, being gender fluid today is what's in. I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, before I had a son who was transgender, I might have been open to that kind of way of thinking as well, because I would have been probably not through what I've been through. Through the children's hospital, the process with our family doctor and the psychologists and the counselor. So I have a very much different level of education now. But I would say to people like that, that a trend is something usually that you choose to adopt in your life that's positive, or you're getting something positive out of it, right? Maybe you're goth because you want to rebel against your parents, or you want to get attention or fit into a social circle. To choose to change your gender identity or to choose to be a transgender person comes with it a massive amount of scrutiny, discrimination, hate, and
probably a lot of rejection as well.
Rejection,
from people that you like.
Well, at least fear of rejection.
Anxiety, depression in when they're not accepted and supported in their families or in their social circles or schools. So there is absolutely zero evidence from any peer-reviewed study that suggests that a child chooses to change their gender because it's a trend or a fad, unless you listen to some of the other side who will steer you to some of the conservative right wing kind of propaganda from some of the sources that, if you look into them, are really just fake news.
Yeah, exactly.
So when the speaker came and everybody, you know, realized this is no big deal, this is a kid in our school and mm-hmm. it's going to be like everybody else, when did the climate change toward the kind of protest that you got from the parents? How did that come about?
It was about 2 years after that.
Oh, that's quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was tickety-boo in school until...
It still is good in his school. In our neighborhood of Langley that I live in, he goes to one high school. Things are great. I've met parents at support groups whose son is the same age that goes to a school a few blocks over, a different high school, and their son is on, a few months ago, the last time I saw these parents, were on almost a daily, if not every other day, suicide watch with their son.
Oh my gosh.
Because the bullying was incessant. The support from the teachers was not there as a policy to understand how to deal with this and navigate it in a sensitive way. And I was like, these are the same families and kids and community that I live in the same general area, like literally within 8 city blocks. Are the two schools. And I was dumbfounded with that information, which made me realize the importance of Soji even more. I mean, and I know there's a lot of misinformation about Soji and a lot of concern and questions, and I can answer any questions and kind of go over my perspective of it and my experience with it.
We absolutely will, but come on, Brad. I mean, seriously, why the hell do we have to change the laws for your one kid? Come on!
True. Well, I think that... As a nation, Canada, to me, I mean, I can't think of a better place to live. I like to believe that we celebrate equality for everybody, of all diversities. And when you say equality for all, it doesn't mean except for these people. There's enough evidence, there's enough facts to show that transgender people are real. They're born that way. And gender identity is a spectrum. It's hard for people who've never heard of it to really wrap their mind around it. Mm-hmm. But these are real people. They're your neighbors, coworkers, classmates, and they need the same protections as guys like me, which is a straight white male with blonde hair and blue eyes, that I've never had to worry about the same types of discrimination that other people have. And it's my responsibility to have that voice and stand up for people, I think, that don't have those same rights yet.
That's a fantastic answer.
Before, when you were talking about like the three different stances people take, either they like understand and accept the trend, like gender identity differences, or they are kind of in the middle and don't really know, or they are on the opposite side. Do you ever find people that are against not like people like anything other than the, you know, man and woman binary? Who genuinely, like, think that that is, like, the science backs that up, and that, you know, like, that's just how it is. Like, do you find that there are people that just genuinely think that that's actually how it is?
Like, that don't support trans people?
Yeah, yeah.
In the beginning, it was easy for me to get emotionally and drawn into debates, and then they go nowhere because people build their defenses up, yeah. And then they whatever. But I found that when you start to listen to people, and I have respect for people who are religious and who go to church, because we live in a country that recognizes freedom of religion. I have no problem with that. I only have a problem with it when it's used as a weapon and a shield to attack people like myself or my family or families like mine. So when I engage in people in mature civil discussion and we share a real conversation, I find that most people are very accepting and they'll lower their defenses and they'll open their minds and their hearts. So I haven't really found people. I've seen a lot of people that had questions and were concerned that might have originally supported only a marriage between opposite sex people, yeah, that have now since opened their mind and their hearts to same sex marriage. And are slowly learning, like, people of all ages, all backgrounds are starting to realize that people are born with all different types of diversities. And one of those diversities is people are born with their brain hardwired to be a different gender than their body is. And yeah, they're learning that. And you only learn that through education and through following where the medical and the scientific community are going. You don't learn that by listening to pseudoscience and fake news, right?
I'm going to interrupt here. I'm just going to say, maybe we should just switch the word here, because I understand what you mean when you say you're learning, but as we had with Dr. Drance, the proper word would be you're discovering, because you don't actually learn your sexuality. You discover it, right?
Correct.
It's not something you can learn, because if you say learn, your opponents are going to say right away, oh, well, you just learned to be gay. You just learned to be trans. You can unlearn it.
Right.
Yep.
So I think it's very important to point that out.
How I, until I was 18 years old, I thought I was straight. Like, I just never even questioned it. And, like, looking back, everyone who I was attracted to of the same gender, I hated, because, like, that's just how I was able to cope with it. And mm-hmm. then when I was 18 and I was no longer religious, I took those barriers down. I was like, oh, girls are attractive.
You mean you hated me?
Yes.
Okay, we're not getting into this.
That's just getting strange.
Yeah. Brad, you heard our episode with Dr. Drance and Dr. Ray. How did you like it? Did you feel that we brought some good information for the public?
I think so, yeah. It was a nice breath of fresh air to hear a discussion and information that was actually based in the real world, in reality, in science and medical advancements on what gender identity is, what it means to be transgender, and the need for policies and laws to be changed in order for these people to not be discriminated and live a normal life like everybody else gets to. So, you know, it was really good.
Fantastic.
One of the arguments of people who are still stuck in some kind of a time and gender warp is that they are against the SOGI program because they feel that it's going to influence other children to suddenly become gay, to suddenly become transgender. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, when you apply reason to it, just logic, you can't understand how anybody could hold that view, so that now their children are at risk because they're being educated or they're being, you know, about how the world is, about how to treat other people, about how to love and respect people, you know, because of their diversity. But no, it's their straight children who are at risk, and they begin to look at transgender children and gay children as being, you know, people that could infect
their
children. Yeah. And it's, how can you say my kid is okay, but your kid isn't, just because that child is different? It's just a dichotomy that leads to so much hatred.
It sounds to me like these kids are already infected by their parents.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, not the trans or the gay kids. I'm talking about the parents who have the problem. They're already infecting their kids with a bad attitude.
And is your son able to process? I mean, such a young age still. Are you able to help him process what's going on? I mean, from what you were saying before, he hasn't been bullied, so he's not experienced it. But is he understanding, you know, the different attitudes, or is that still difficult for him?
I shield him from what I can outside of school. He doesn't experience any bullying at school.
That's great.
The only bullying he experiences is from the adults, the adult bullies.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're the ones that harass him on social media.
They're brave.
He's not on social media a lot, but they out him.
Good for him, though.
They out him. They talk about me, and they basically say Brad Dirks and your daughter is what they say.
Yeah.
They won't acknowledge him as my son. They continue to gender shame him, which actually is borderline illegal under Bill C-16, which protects people who are transgender and gender identity from hate speech and discrimination. And when you gender shame somebody, it falls under that exact same protection.
I mean, it's just unfathomable. I understand it, but still, you know, if I'm a parent and someone bullies my child, mm-hmm. you know, I come to the defense. But then would I ever bully someone else's child and think it's perfectly okay? Yet in their minds, that's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's an analogy that I like to give people when they're talking about Soji and worried about if it's going to turn their straight child gay or turn their child into somebody who's going to question their gender and want to switch. Soji is not being brought in to give anybody special treatment or give them treatment over somebody else. It's almost what I would explain as being the last piece of the puzzle of a group of people who have continually been ignored. Because if you go back in time, we have policies in place that deal with people with different visible minorities, races, ethnic backgrounds, and religions. And there's policies in place in school to deal with bullying and discrimination about those types of things. They've been there for a long time. More recently, if you go into any school, take a look in the bathroom, you're going to see a bigger stall for people who are in a wheelchair or who are physically challenged.
Exactly.
You're going to see wheelchair ramps and accommodations. And those were brought in a long time ago because some people have to get around in a wheelchair. Does that mean that your son or daughter who goes to school is going to be somehow in a wheelchair because they're friends with or learning that schools are becoming inclusive for people who are physically disabled or have physical challenges?
Boom.
Absolutely not. Then, more recently, neurodiversities in people on the autistic spectrum. You know, these kids with different learning disabilities and different degrees of autism used to be put in special ed classes and separated from students who didn't have those. They're more and more being integrated in regular classrooms because they can learn the same and they can learn, they just learn differently in a different way. We've made schools more inclusive for them. And you didn't see too many parents up in arms and coming home and saying, well, if my kid learns about autistic kids, what if my kid starts to go autistic?
Yeah.
Not an argument you hear about.
And in that, it's interesting because when I went to school to work with people with disabilities, so when they were integrated into schools, they integrated them in a way that you couldn't tell which kid had the disability if it wasn't, like, visible.
Right.
Like, they didn't have this massive, like, oh, this kid needs help. It was like the assistant would help everyone, but just keep an eye on that one kid and make sure they had the help they needed.
Yep.
So we have
all these policies. We have, you know, we have more and more awareness of indigenous cultures and respect being brought into all our schools for indigenous people because we're more and more doing the right thing, I think. And we have LGBT people and at the very kind of, and we've accepted, and I think that the gay and bisexual and lesbian, which are the few of those acronyms, they've done lots of work over the last few decades and made strides, and there's still lots of work to be done, obviously. And unfortunately, the trans youth and the gender identity segment of people are kind of taking the brunt of most of the assault lately. But they're fighting the same fight for that same kind of inclusion, equality, and just to be acknowledged for who they are. And they are, and they'll question, why does this have to be taught in school? It's not a course. It's the fact that somebody's kid is going to start kindergarten and they might have two moms or two dads. How in the world does that child make friends, have a birthday party, and start to bring friends over when they're made to feel that their family is less than or not talked about?
Exactly.
How do they socially relate?
Exactly. Yeah. So this is about teaching people about a reflection of the communities and society we live in, and schools should represent that and be a mirror image of that. It shouldn't shame people who are part of that community and not talk about it. It's not a curriculum or a course. It's an openness of inclusivity of everybody in school. And again, the LGBTQ people in schools are kind of the last piece of the puzzle being added to this to create a full inclusive environment in schools. And that's what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, well, they can't pick on the gays anymore, so now they have to pick on the trans, right?
That's exactly. Exactly it,
right? I'm curious. Do you find that the shift towards the cultural, like our culture kind of targeting transgender people, when do you find that that kind of happened?
I think that with reality TV shows like I Am Jazz and Caitlyn Jenner, it opened up a lot of dialogue and discussion, but sometimes reality TV show in all forms is usually goofy.
Yeah.
And if you watch Survivor, that's goofy. If you watch Big Brother, it's goofy. The people that are on these shows are performing and acting for the camera and they take so much footage, they only air stuff that's going to be talked about around the water cooler. So mm-hmm. when you have a transgender celebrity like Caitlyn Jenner, that person's TV show might sensationalize what it means, and it might become more of a joke or yeah. goofy. And then people who don't know that much about it, that becomes their only conduit to learn. And does the transgender community, I think, a disservice overall. But the silver lining is it's got people talking. It's got having discussions like this. But it does give ammunition to the anti-trans kind of movement to really paint a bad picture.
In the same vein, though, it's also a weapon that can help. Because I remember, for example, there was a lot of anti-gay propaganda for the longest time until you had shows like Glee coming on TV, and it was very acceptable and very popular. And all of a sudden, that peak, you know, just reach and boom, everything just fell into place. You know, the gays were, it's totally fine. Nobody cares now anymore. And I think the same will happen to the trans population as well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Ellen, I think, was one of the first TV celebrities to come out. And then we had Will and Grace, and we had, and a lot of these sitcoms and TV shows had like the token gay person on it or whatever. And I think over time, when younger people in their 20s are starting to watch sitcoms and then they get older and they have kids, people just become more open-minded and more accepting of everything, and it's definitely not an issue anymore.
Accepting, that's the word that I always try to use. Accepting.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, you've been pretty public there, and you've made some pretty powerful enemies, if I can say that. What you guys might not know is we actually have a clip on one of the people that this is their strategy for beating you, Brad.
Okay.
You ready to hear this?
Yes.
Okay.
To crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of the women.
That was actually from the Culture Guard itself.
So, with your work with the other parents, it sounds as though you have a pretty good situation at your school. You have a lot of support in working with the other parents. Do you find that the teachers and the principal in their schools are as supportive, or are there still some problems in other schools and different neighborhoods?
I think that it depends on the neighborhood, the city. Like, we won the lottery when you think about it. We were in Canada. We're in British Columbia.
Absolutely.
We're in a city that is really, really, in my opinion, progressive. And we're at a school that's really supportive. But for other kids, it's not the same. And I think that when you have, I think it dates back to when Bill C-16 was passed, which gave transgender and people with different gender identities protection under the law.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You need a policy in a school like SOGI-123 to protect not only the students and the teachers and staff who identify in one of those communities, but they also need it to protect themselves from liability. Because if a teacher doesn't have the resources and the tools and the training to address a situation properly, and let's say my kid went to a school that maybe wasn't so supportive, and I found out about it, I could sue the school or the school board or the school district for not dealing with something properly if this is law and they didn't have proper training.
No.
This school districts in the province sees this as a way to have policies and procedures in place to deal with things as they might unfold. It's there to protect the teachers and the schools as well, right?
Can I jump in here?
For sure.
I would. Is it like how we were talking earlier when people with disabilities were integrated into schools, like how then the teachers and the support staff needed to figure out how they were going to work with these new students and like not have them be bullied and discriminated against.
I would say so. I mean, I think that people that are LGBTQ generally aren't, they're not visibly identifiable.
Definitely,
as
yeah.
much as somebody that might have a physical disability that's obvious, or somebody that might have a neurodiversity that's pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. And I know that kids like mine and the people that I know and other families I know, they don't want to be sitting in a classroom and have the teacher point to them and say, we're going to talk about this today. And we have one in the class. Like,
yeah. Well, it doesn't work. And the thing is, in any school, like that wouldn't be okay for anyone.
No, for sure. Yeah. So I think it's more of a matter of people want to know that the family unit they're part of, mm-hmm. whether it's two moms or two dads. And again, it's more broad. There's an attack on this policy saying that they're not allowed to use the word mom and dad anymore. That's not the case. They're just opening up to more talking about parents and guardians in general, mm-hmm. because you have a kid in the class that might be living in a foster home. Maybe they were kicked out. Maybe their parents were killed in a car accident some tragedy like that. And then out comes Father's Day. Everybody, okay, we're going to do Father's Day cards for your dads today. Well, if you're a kid who has two moms or lives in a foster home or lives with your grandparents, that's a really tragic thing for that kid. So it's more opening up the wording and the language we're using to make kids like that feel included. So if it's maybe Father's Day, we're going to do a card for your dad or your guardian or your granddad, mm-hmm. or one of your parents.
Or a male role model in your life.
Exactly. And they twist and turn that information saying, we're not allowed to use the word dad anymore, or we're not allowed to use the word mom anymore, or male or female. It is not the case. That is complete fabrication. It's more opening up the language we're using to be inclusive of all the different yeah. scenarios that these
and
kids are living with.
Realizing that the family unit isn't just one man, one woman, and their 1.2 kids.
Exactly. There was a kid a couple years ago at my kid's school.
I'm just trying to think of 0.2 kids. That sounds really sick.
0.2.
Sorry.
Oh, no worries. It made me think of one of my younger son's friends lost his parents or lost his mom in a car accident, and she was a single mom with a boyfriend, and I knew that he went up going to live with his grandparents, and it was apparent that on a Father's Day or a Mother's Day, things like that in elementary school, if we can make the language a little bit more loving and inclusive and supportive of all different family units and situations, these kids can build their confidence rather than tear it down.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's so difficult. What you were saying before, once someone, for instance, take the different pronoun uses, when people start objecting to how the pronouns can be, how you can be flexible with mm-hmm. the use of pronouns in order to make people feel accepted and so forth, what happens is that those who begin to hate or who are haters and begin to express their opinions, they begin to present that as a manipulation, and as those people are now trying to get us, to accommodate to them, when they're really the perversion and we're the straight people and we shouldn't have to change because of them.
Exactly.
When it starts getting to that level and the parents begin to think that way, it's very difficult, I would imagine, to untangle, why actually the use of mom and dad, and how it's difficult for children who are not in a two-parent home, but to try and untangle what the protesters are saying at that point. How do you deal with some of that misinformation, because it really gets implanted so like cement in their minds?
Are you asking Brad what kind of a plan he has to fight that?
I'm asking.
I come on shows like this.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
No, and that actually works.
Yeah, because people when people have closed minds and they're saying something that's absolutely not what reality is, how are you finding to approach that to try and get them perhaps to a little more understanding of what's going on?
I think I try to talk to people that it's not us and them, and it's not, I don't really like, I mean, I'm not part of the LGBTQ2+ community, although it's in my family. I like to think of us as all part of one community. and that we're made up of all shapes and sizes and differences and diversities and interests. And we generally all watch Netflix at nighttime and go to the bathroom and eat sushi and do the same general things. Who we love and who we are inside, and if that differs from how we were born with our physical bodies, it really doesn't matter. What matters is that we treat each other with respect and dignity, and we should be allowing young people to learn at a young age so that they don't get prejudices and hate into the, you know, passed down, so that they, we don't want another generation of adults growing up where they don't like people because of the color of their skin or because they're gay or because women don't deserve the same right. Like, that's just past. That's the past. We have to move forward from that.
These people are the same ones that back in the 50s would have made the excuse that, oh my God, a black man and a white woman getting married, that's against whatever, right? It's the same. It's the same kind of, for lack of a better term, retards that are here today making those points.
I think your comment about the retards is really good. I'm still having trouble understanding the opposition or backlash to using terms like, could you have your parent or guardian please contact us, instead of saying, hey, can you have your mom contact us?
Yeah, but
what's wrong with asking for, hey, could you have your parent or guardian please contact us?
100%. There isn't a problem, because and a little bit of backtracking here, going through school, my dad, I've been told he was a wonderful person, but he went back to another woman before my first birthday. So I grew up not knowing him. So I suppose, so whenever it came around to in elementary school, Father's Day, oh, we're going to do Father's Day cards, anything like that, I would always do it for my grandpa.
Yeah.
Because
that was accepted.
I was raised by my grandparents. He was really the only male role model I had.
Well, I'm trying to figure out the opposite, because I've heard the opposition. I've watched some of the videos of people opposing these ideas, and it really bothers me, because 40 years ago when I was in school, back in the 80s in Ontario, I don't remember this opposition. I remember the teachers using parent or guardian. They didn't specify, and it was actually led at that time not to specify, because there were children who came from split families or different families, or maybe their parents were dead, and you didn't want to hurt those kids. So let's just use a generic term and make everybody feel included. And this is what I understand Soji to be. Can we please change the way we're treating people? Include these children. Include them as people.
Scott, if you remember the show we did with Dr. Drance and Dr. Ray, she said, first of all, it's a question of culture. And our culture has this binary look on gender.
Well, it's time,
which of course
change,
was promoted by the religion, right? And this is one of the reasons why we were fighting this. It was
it's time to change. It's time to grow up, people.
But as the older generation, which is the more religious one, disappears, slowly but surely, eventually, it's going to be much more accepted.
Then we'll live in Star Trek world.
Well, you want to know something? They had something going. I mean, why is this so hard for people to accept? Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Kev.
I think one of the obstacles that the hardcore opponents have is they think that being a transgender person isn't really being transgender when they're a kid. They constantly call it gender dysphoria.
Yes.
And that's the key word they throw around to confuse people. Now, you can have gender dysphoria but not be a transgender person. Mm-hmm. You might be a young person who maybe has something going on that you question something, you're confused, you're not sure. Well, you don't go to your parents and your parents just don't flip a switch and you change your gender because you have gender dysphoria. It doesn't work that way. You would go through a long-term assessment process with your family doctor, with a psychologist, and with a team at the Children's Hospital, and all acting independently but working together, they would identify whether you in fact are a transgender person or not, if it came to that.
So there's actual doctor's reports, psychologist reports, and several stages, not
And some people who are transgender people don't ever suffer from gender dysphoria. Mm-hmm. Gender dysphoria is the anxiety you feel when who you identify on the inside doesn't match the sex you were given at birth. And it can be temporary or it can be long-term, and you can be dealt with through counselors or through counseling, and it generally is just a temporary thing. It's like straight people have anxiety and depression for different reasons, for crying out loud. Like, we all deal with ups and downs in our life, and when you're obviously dealing with that in the very beginning stages, the anxiety has a name, and that's what it's called. Statistics show, and studies have shown, and I'm talking about peer-reviewed real ones, that when trans youth are supported by their families and their schools and generally their friends, their social circle, their depression and anxiety levels and suicide rates or suicide attempt rates plummet to those as of the exact same as non-trans youth.
That's so awesome.
There's absolutely, the evidence shows that when there's support and they're connected with all the tools and resources and with their medical and community and everything's in place, they're exactly the same. There isn't this high degree of suicide that people talk about when there's support in place and inclusion. Mm-hmm. It's only when schools, you know, aren't supportive and parents aren't supportive, and then this hate gets into their psyche and they hear about what's going on. That is what increases the depression and the anxiety, and that's what leads to suicide.
Imagine that concept. If we support the people in their lives, then the suicide rate goes down.
Yeah.
What a concept. I mean, it's so complex. It's rocket science, for crying out loud.
No,
I mean, obviously these people at culture, what are they called? The culture guard? They can't handle that concept.
Well, no, I mean,
they tell people, and the opponents tell people that a kid will learn about what it means to be transgender or gender or identity at school because of Soji, and they'll come home and be like, "Mom, I think I'm a boy now." And then just take them to the pharmacy and buy them hormones.
If you don't feel like you're a different gender, you don't like for me, I'm not like, okay, I want to go be a boy. Like, no. I like my dresses. I like being feminine. Yeah. I like having, like, doing, expressing myself very feminine-like.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, I'll have days where I wear, like, baggy clothes, but, like, that doesn't mean that I feel like a boy.
No.
But how you express yourself is an individual thing, and however you want to express yourself is your business. If it comes to the point where you actually want to change yourself, again, that's not something they take lightly.
No.
They put you through psychological and doctors and testing and layer after layer to find out what's going on. And they may find that, in fact, you are not the gender that you should be.
And of course, it's even more enraging when people use gender dysphoria, because it's used as a to point out that somehow there'd be something wrong with a person.
Yeah.
It's a mental issue.
They paint it as a mental illness, and it's not a mental illness.
It's a mental condition that's temporary.
Because it's in the DSM-5, it's a mental condition. Like, it's a mental disorder.
I get so angry at this whole thing we're discussing. I'm listening to your story, and I'm just oozing anger. Like, I want to lash out at these people. There's the question I have right now. How do you do it? How do you remain professionally calm? Because I see a professional calm in you.
Well,
as a parent, I'm a parent. And if it was happening to my child, I would be freaking right out.
Well, when my kid came to me and he brought a journal, and he handed a journal to his mother and myself, and we were downstairs watching Netflix. I think it was Breaking Bad or something. And that's the truth. And then we got this journal, and it had a few pages of very confusing feelings, and, you know, that's personal. I won't get into what was written, but it prompted us to be like, okay, we need to go and make a doctor's appointment because we need to seek professional help. We don't know, and we know you need help. So we went and saw our family doctor, and she's got plaques on the wall. She's a general practitioner. She's a obstetrician and a gynecologist, and she's very smart at what she does. And she said, let's start with a counselor who specializes in working with LGBTQ youth. Went there a couple times a week, week after week, month after month, long term. They slowly mapped out feelings that dated back to when he was in grade 2-3, things like that, that started to point in the direction that maybe you might be a transgender person, but this counselor was not qualified to make that assessment.
Yeah.
But said at the end of this thing, here's a big long map we did. It's a timeline. Things are pointing in that direction. You take this back to your doctor and see what she says. We'll go back to the family doctor. She says, let me put you on the wait list for the program, the transgender program at the BC Children's Hospital. They're the experts. They have a whole department devoted to trans youth and working with trans health. We go there. In that program, they say, okay, you need to identify socially transition, like who you are with how you want to present and who you are, for a year in school, before we do anything as far as take you on as a patient and consider future options. So you do that for a year, and then you're seeing a psychologist, and you're going back and visit. It's a very, very long-term process. And then at the end of it, the psychologist, the team at the Children's Hospital, and your family doctor all need to give a thumbs up or a green light that you are, in fact, who you say you are, to all come together to be then, okay, you're a transgender person in the eyes of the law, basically.
It's not done on a whim.
It's not done on
a whim. And it is mega trips to the Children's Hospital, to psychologists that aren't cheap. You can get some of it paid for through medical if you want to wait 6 months to get in to see the psychologist, or you can pay $200 an hour and get in, you know, relatively sooner, because it's not all covered really quickly. So it's a very long-term process, and it's thorough, and it catches any kid who might be suffering from something else, say a mental illness or a short-term depression or a condition or something, any other underlying issue, it's caught during that process. So what I'm
asking about, how do you deal with the negative feedback you're getting from adults? I would be so angry.
He comes on our show and vents.
Yeah.
No, and seriously, like you seem so calm and you've got a direction you're going in, and
yeah,
you seem, like I said, a professional calm. And if I saw my child going through that negative aspect of it, where they're being mistreated by adults, mm-hmm, by people who should know better, I would be so angry. I wouldn't know how to deal with it.
Well, in the beginning, I took everything personally when I first started coming out and doing a newspaper interview or a radio interview, because with everything you do, you get a lot of support, but then there's always people who have extra time in their day to come and hate you and say stuff publicly when they don't know you. And I would be like, oh, and in the relationship that I'm in right now, she would be like, this is weighing on you, you know, all this stuff is weighing on you. Everything you do, there's like 90% positive and support, but then there's that 10% that gets you down. Mm-hmm. And then I'm part of a group of called BC Families for Inclusivity, which is largely a closed Facebook group, but a group of real people where we chat and get together and do things. And, you know, you get a lot of support from them, and we learn what works and what doesn't work. And what really doesn't work is debating these people on social media or online, or reading what they say about you. What really works is continuing to do things that make meaningful, lasting change. And I believe in supporting Soji, that's one of those things. And that's why I was championing and supporting the Safe Place Initiative as well. That kind of got brought into approved through the RCMP as well, because those are the things that are really going to make a difference, not debating and arguing people that have their minds made up.
Exactly. Well, especially when the people you're debating that want to debate and are antagonistic toward you aren't the people who are ever going to have their minds changed.
No.
Like,
true.
Those aren't the people you're trying to bring over.
No, they generally throw these big rallies, and they have donation bins, and they're looking for financial, mm-hmm, contributions from their followers, and they have GoFundMe pages that they're trying to raise money, and they use this hate to stir up from their supporters that somehow by giving them money they're gonna take away Soji and strip away the rights of these people.
And while I do it, I'm gonna buy a car.
You're exactly the kind of parent that we need more of in this world. You have a child and you love that child because of who that child is. Not that there's a gender or there's a color or there's a thought or whatever, but it's your child. And the best thing you can do for your child is to support him, to love him, and to guide him in ways that he can grow into the best kind of human being that he can be. And that's what all parents should be. And the fact that you are subject to hate for doing that, mm-hmm, and are coming out of it saying, I don't really care what they say, I know who I am, I know who my child is, mm-hmm, I know who my family is, and that's what I'm all about. Right. And maybe that sense of calm comes from that, in that your core values are absolutely rock solid.
You're
able to give your child a role model. And
this is how we're going to get through this. We're going to get through it with support, and we're going to get through it together. And I commend you. I really do. If there were more Brads in this world, there'd be a lot of wonderful people.
I'm very uncomfortable with compliments, though, like that, because yeah. I do my instinct as being Papa Bear, and I think that the common ground I would have with, if there's any parent listening who is, let's say, on the opposite end of the spectrum and doesn't agree with me, we can find the common ground that we both do anything for our kids. And if your kid was being bullied or picked on for something that was different about them, you'd feel the exact same way about this as I do. And that's where we can find a way to meet.
But you do it. You stay in there and do it.
When I go to support groups with other parents of trans youth, where maybe their child is just coming out and things like that, it's mostly me and mums. And the mums will be very emotional. Often the dads or their husbands won't come because they're trying to have, they have that gender role of being the man, and they won't, they find it hard to come and be and get down. They really go into denial. When I go, then they go home and say, there was a dad there. Come next time.
Yeah, guys.
And I go there.
Step up to the plate, guys.
And I
five dads there. Yeah.
That's where I don't go to support groups because I need support. I was supportive of my kids since day one. I never needed help, but I know other families do, and I know dads do. And it's unfortunate that's where we're at, that dads do more than moms, but
you're making that positive change.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to interrupt here because I'm looking at the time here. Quick question before we move on, because I want you to move on about the program that you've been doing in Langley about the, incorporating the businesses in the fight.
The Safe Space program.
The Safe Space. But a quick question about coal.
Yep.
You said that you've got some stuff that pointed out he started having those feelings in grade 2.
Yes.
And now he's in grade
11 now, but grade 9.
He's been holding on to that for a long time, obviously.
Yep.
And since he's doing the transition, he's Cole.
Yep.
He's a much happier person. Yes.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Perfect. Yep. Okay. Moving on.
That matters.
Yes.
Good so right now you've been doing some work with the RCMP and the local businesses in Langley. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, there was an article in the Langley Advance that came out that gave me and Stacey Wakelin a little bit more credit than we deserved, and the opponents pounced on it. And again, I would love to take credit for it. I can't take any credit in it. What the truth is that I knew about the program in Vancouver. It was the first city in Canada to have a Safe Place program. And what this stems from is that if you are a person who's picked on, harassed in our community, whether it be somebody who's small or somebody who's just looks like somebody that somebody would pick on, or even a woman who's picked on by a man, you can duck into any business or public place, and the chances are you're going to get support because you're just a human being. Historically, the LGBTQ community, when they were being harassed and picked on verbally or physically, they didn't have that same confidence when they duck into any public space, because a lot of the time those businesses would turn around and kick them back out. That's just the fact. That's just the reality of it. So because of that, Seattle created the Safe Place program to show people that might be feel that they're being bullied or harassed physically or verbally. They could visually see a store that had the training, that knew how to deal with that situation. So you could duck in there for a safe haven. They would phone the police, and the police were trained to come there and knew how to deal with it in a sensitive manner, whether you were gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender person. That program was brought to Vancouver. I felt a need for it in my community. Obviously, I'm in Langley, where some of these quote-unquote hate groups are in. So I said, how do we get this in Langley? How does the RCMP get this? I didn't know that E Division in Surrey, which passes all these types of programs for all the RCMP, were already in the process of approving this in December. And in January, they approved it for all cities in BC, for all RCMP detachments.
That's so cool.
So every single RCMP detachment in BC got a memo, got the email that it's approved. Now, all RCMP detachments and all communities have different things going on and different programs and priorities. So if nobody's brought it to their attention or showed their a need, then it might sit on the back burner for a few months until they get around to it. Me and Stacey were like in Langley saying, hey, we feel that there's a need for it. There's a demand for it with a lot of businesses we know. And we see there's a lot of students that see what's going on and really think that this is important. I know kids that go to the rec center nearby and would love to see that and know that it's a safe place and a welcoming place. So it just happened to be when we brought it to their attention, they were like, it's already here. We're already bringing it. And we basically were like, sweet, well, how can we help? and that's why we were kind of in the news with them. But we had zero to do with bringing it to the RCMP or to Langley. We just happened to be looking for that at the time when it was being rolled out.
Well, I was absolutely amazed though, because one day when it was on the local papers and in the comment section, there was a lot of people like attacking you for bringing this program. Some yep. people even saying, "Well, I'm not going to shop in those businesses that support equality."
Yeah,
dude,
you know
what are you saying here?
2 days
what kind
ago,
of idiot are you?
2 days ago, one of a friend of mine who works at a credit union in Langley. A woman walked in and handed a 2-page piece of hate propaganda that said, in bold letters at the bottom, "Don't like fall for the LGBTQ agenda. Don't get the rainbow flag sticker." And the whole—it's 2 pages of lies and misinformation yes. about everything. And it was ugly to read. It was hurtful to read. And it's basically saying to the business community, if you get that sticker, we'll boycott you and we won't do business with you anymore. All because the business says we will help you if you run into trouble in our community. And then you have some of these horrible people that are causing all this problem saying, "Well, I was in Langley the other day having a latte and I didn't see any problems." And it's like, it's people like you and your group and what you're causing that's creating the need for this, which is the irony. And they don't see that. You know,
they don't understand that, you know, equality is a good thing.
Inconceivable.
Yeah. So yeah. Hopefully we don't ever need a young person or you know, an adolescent or an adult need to duck into a business because they're being physically or verbally harassed because of their gender identity or their sexual orientation. That would be, I would hope not in any of the Lower Mainland communities, but it's there for businesses who want to show support and show that they're going to take that role. There's a little responsibility involved because they need to say, yeah, if you are where you come in here, and we will make sure that we get the police here to deal with this properly. It's not just here's a sticker because we support your community. There's more to it than that. So I don't expect every business to opt into this because not every business is prepared to do what it takes to do that for somebody, right?
Well, I mean, how hard could it be as a business? Somebody walks in, they're in distress, they're being pursued by some bunch of idiots. Pick up the phone, call the cops.
Yeah,
you know, lock the door if you have to.
And can you imagine if you were one of like a child like mine or somebody else who went into a business who is a supporter of the other side, who happened to be advocating to not have soji and not have these decals, and you walk into their business, that would be a very, very unfortunate situation for somebody, which again shows the need for it. And that's just where we're at right now. You know, why do we need a rainbow crosswalk in different communities?
Yeah.
The very people that say, "Why do we need this?" And they put their tires and they spin out on them.
Yeah.
That's why we need them. When one day nobody has a problem with them, then maybe we don't need them anymore. Because the fact that nobody puts up a fuss, okay, we finally arrive where we don't need to have it anymore because we live in a world where nobody's complaining about them, yeah. right?
Those are the same idiots I'll say, "Well, how come I don't have a street pride parade?" You know?
Every day of your life.
Yeah, pretty much. You
know? Exactly.
So yeah. These are the same people. Brand is, for our audience out there, you know, you've been talking about a lot of stuff. To people that are listening about this tonight,
mm-hmm.
what words of encouragement, what word of wisdom and advice would you want to give them?
Well, I would say that if you're uncertain or have questions or concerns or your mind isn't made up one way or another, then to seek credible information. You know, there's all kinds of information out there that's credible. And there's all kinds of information out there that's designed to misinform.
I bet you get a whole bunch of them that are misinformed. Huh?
There's this organization that's frequently quoted, and they're called the American College of Pediatricians.
We talked about this.
So it sounds legit. It's made to sound legit.
Absolutely.
For
unsuspecting people. It's like the Family Research Council.
That's right.
It sounds awesome. It's like, oh, wow, you're a hate group.
Yes. And I have just to let people know that they are a conservative advocacy group with Judeo-Christian traditional values, which isn't necessarily inherently bad, but they were only founded in 2002, and there's only 500 members, and their whole agenda is basically to not support LGBTQ rights. And we have what's called the American Academy of Pediatricians. They were actually founded in 1930, and they have over 64,000 members. And of all those pediatricians and members of that, they are all on board with transgender and gender identity yeah. treatment for youth and children.
The AAP
and
is the real organization.
Yeah. And then the
college is not.
And there's an American College of Physicians, which is dates back even farther to 1915, and it has 150,000 members, and it's more than just pediatricians, it's doctors and healthcare yeah. workers and everything. Now, those are the two legitimate groups. You'll rarely see these hate groups or these people quote anything yeah. from those groups. They'll no. always quote things from the American College of Pediatricians, which is all pseudoscience and misinformation and lies.
It's kind of funny because when we did our last show with Dr. Rance, I was warned by actually even an atheist in our group, I'm not going to name him, but he basically said, well, you got to be careful. And he passed me an opinion piece that went into the Vancouver Sun that actually talked about the American College of Pediatricians.
Yep.
And until I saw, wait a minute, hold on a sec, and you just 2 minutes on Google, Psychology Today, right away, hate group.
Yep.
From Psychology Today. It's not even a...
But if you're an unsuspecting parent and you're busy, you're coming home from work and you got kids going to school and you're hearing these concerns, you don't have time to sift through fake news from real news, and that's a very unassuming name.
And they do it in a way that it seems...
Legit.
Legit, yeah.
Yep, and it's not. If you look at all the news articles that some of these opponents will share on their Facebook groups and on social media, again, they sound very inflammatory, they sound credible, but they're basically from the same websites like Breitbart, LifeSite News, Life Petitions, Stream.com or .org. These are all ultra-extreme right-wing conservative anti-LGBTQ organizations that write these pieces that look legit, but they're not legit. And it's unfortunate that these people know that there's credible information out there. They just choose to share ones specifically on purpose to manipulate
yes.
people in the community to believe this stuff, but they themselves know it's not true.
Do you ever find that when you do, if you do ever bring up like the credible sources
mm-hmm.
with information on people of different gender identities, that they're like, do you ever find people accuse like the professionals of being biased?
Well, when you have somebody who believes something so devoutly, and in whether it be based on how they're raised in a religion or some faith, or they've read so many things on fake news, to get somebody to change their mind is more about them admitting that they're wrong. And nobody likes to admit they're wrong about anything. So it's really yeah. tough. I found that it's easier to meet with somebody one-on-one or have a discussion one-on-one in an intelligent, civil way and change one person's mind than it is to change a whole bunch of people's minds.
Definitely, yeah.
Because people don't want to admit they're wrong. And once they've got their mind made up, in order to change it, even if the facts are right there, they still have to make that personal decision that, oh, I was maybe wrong. And that's a tough thing for people to do. And I can't begrudge people that. It is tough, but...
You're a better man than I, because I would say to people, go right ahead and engage these people. Now, don't be an ass. You can engage these people politely.
No,
but
you
always
can't.
Bear...
We're Canadian. Politeness is our middle name.
But always bear in mind...
I like crowbars.
The odds are you
its
won't...
Its name is politeness.
The odds are you won't change that person's mind. But you're not doing it for that person. You're doing it for the people that are reading.
Yes.
The audience that's listening. Right. That's who you're reaching.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, I realized I can't change people's minds that have their minds made up. I definitely can't change the extremist people's minds who have this agenda. So I focus my energies and my time on the youth and the kids. They only get one childhood. They only get one time at being a teenager. If I can support Soji in a way that opens people's minds and they get that opportunity to go to school and have a good childhood, that's what my goal is. And if I can help programs like Safe Places show the community these young people live in that their community is there for them, then I don't really care what these nasty people are talking about anymore. I'm just kind of done with it, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's only so much mental energy I can give people that don't like
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
So you might as well focus on moving forward with something rather than running around in circles.
Yeah, and I'm guilty, but I've done all the things wrong. I try to learn what works and what doesn't work, and I try to be better the next day, and it's like a one step backwards, two steps forward type of thing.
A little bit of trial and error, and you find out what works, what doesn't.
Yep.
Brad, if people want to reach you and want to lend you their support, where can they find you?
Well, I kind of divide my social medias up differently. My Facebook page is mostly me personally, but you can connect with me at Brad Dirks on Facebook. If you're on Twitter is my advocacy kind of outlet. I use that mostly for sharing information and news about my advocacy work for LGBTQ youth. So I'm at Brad Dirks on Twitter as well. And that those are the two best ways to connect with me.
Fantastic. Brad, there's only one thing I have to say about you, man. You're the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming in and sharing so much with us. You live what you say. It's not the words. You're really living who you are, and that's a marvelous accomplishment.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. We need absolutely more people like you out there, and your son, although he's not here listening, one day he's going to really appreciate that, and he's going to be very proud of you, and he has every reason
to
be.
Thank you. Can I say one more thing in closing?
Oh, well, absolutely.
Due to all this crazy stuff, one of my bucket list things, which I never thought I would do, was to do a TED Talk. And I was invited to do one and shortlisted and actually did a TED Talk in January on this exact same subject. Oh. And I've never public spoken before. And it actually was edited and went online about 15 minutes before I got here today.
Seriously? Oh. I know what I'm doing when I get home.
It's online now. I've never seen it. And I'm like, ooh.
You got to send me the link.
I will.
For that, so we can post it in the notes of the show.
Okay.
Fantastic. Brad, before I let you go, I got to have you say, hi, I'm Brad, and I took a left at the valley.
Hi, I'm Brad, and I took a left at the valley.
Fantastic.
That was enthusiastic.
Yeah, it totally was. Oh, there's my boy.
They're going to have talk to our audience. They were late applauding this time.
Yeah, I know.
It was just so sad.
They were just mesmerized by everything.
Yes.
Brad, thank you very much.
Oh, no, you're welcome.
I'm really happy to have met you. And
you got allies here, man.
It makes me feel very happy to be Canadian, knowing that there are people in our country that are fighting for equality. Yeah. And I'm like, whew, okay, good.
I don't think we'd be having the same conversation if we were in Somalia. Let's just
no,
say
we would
if
be
you
dead.
Ever need, you ever need a big guy with a crowbar?
Name Patience.
I might.
Yes, the crowbar's name is Patience.
I think it was fantastic, too, that you had the right doctor with the right attitude to lead you to the other professionals that were helpful along the way, and you didn't get dismissed, and you didn't, you know, get, well, I'm sorry, we can't help you, this is just a phase, and so forth. But it was just, you know, right on to be able to, you know, to get that path.
Excuse
where
me.
you had
Nancy.
That help all the way along.
Totally.
You mind? I'm trying to close the show.
For once, it's not on the rest of us.
Are we still on? Another favorite. Before he closes the show, Cole, give him a thumbs up from us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right on. Okay.
Guys, thank you so much for listening today, and thank you for our bonus show that managed to keep on the rails no matter what. You can follow us at leftofthevalley.com. You can follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, at LETV Podcast. Send us an email, leftatvalley@outlooks.com. Send your complaints to Nancy on the third floor.
Who keeps talking.
You're awesome, Nancy.
I'm not going to go through the whole list. This next coming up weekend, we'll be talking to Robert Stanley of the Right to Reason Podcast. He's very excited to meet us. One of the best voices I've heard on podcast radio. And it's also our 4th year anniversary.
Yeah.
I should have a cake.
Yeah.
You totally should. Guys,
or cookies.
I like cake.
Yeah. Anything else you need to say? Guys, thank you so much.
Read Harry Potter.
Oh, jeez.
Star Wars.
Hey.
I'll have a fight here.
That too. Hey, why fight? They're both awesome.
Harry Potter is not the book you're looking for.
Thank you so much, guys. Until next time. Working hard fighting this problem. Religion is a disease. It comes from culture. Only true on a regional scale. Science is universal. Are you to say that Horus isn't real? But Jesus is. Or Zeus, Thor, Mithra, Vishnu. You don't believe in them. I think the reason is apparent. You do what you're told and believe in the God assigned by your parents. I'm proud to be an atheist, a skeptic, a non-believer, an infidel, a heathen. I call it how I see it. I say it's ignorance and you just call it faith. And unsubstantiated claims, that's something to be ashamed. I'm an atheist. Now let me take a sec, don't mean to sound so hateful, but I swear to God, pun intended, I find it disgraceful that thousands of children are raped by priests, and since they're holy men of God, they get away scot-free, and the Pope does his very best to keep it on the hush, don't wanna affect business, he loves money too much, we know that they love the kids, but how the fuck can we protect them while they planning to molest them, we
we're teaching them to respect them.
Fuck them. Fuck that.
The system is broke down, working backwards in the only action of tactic. I plan to practice now is to attack them. The parties of God's hands are bloodstained. Millions of murders by believers, and they're all in God's name. And let me take a sec, don't mean to sound so hateful, but I swear to God, pun intended, I find it disgraceful that many atheists are told to be quiet. You're not alone, speak your mind, time to let it be known. I'm proud to be an atheist, a skeptic, a non-believer.